So I haven't said this in a while, and so I wanted to make sure and reiterate it because it's really my foundation. It's really, I guess you could say, my philosophy, and that is to say that I completely and totally rely on the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ throughout my daily life, throughout my parenting, in my marriage, and in my teaching and preaching. May I say that I know that I am not perfect. I know that God's word is, but I rely on Him to make sure that I am doing His will, which means that sometimes I might say some stuff that isn't right, or maybe a little bit different than what you might think. And so I really appreciate. In fact, I encourage opportunities to share and talk with you about some of the lessons, about class, about sermons. So please, by all means, we're in this together, and we work together all for the glory of God. So moving on into our sermon, we've been talking about our principles, haven't we? As Christoval Church of Christ, we've been talking about what we live by, about principle living, things that don't just fade away, they don't change with the circumstance, they don't change over time. They are what they are, and they help us to make decisions. They help us to live our lives according to God's word, according to what we believe. So, one of those principles that we'll be talking about this morning is community, unity. That is something that you guys stated was at the core of Christoval Church of Christ, at the core of who you want to be, a principle you want to live by. And that is to be a community of God, a community of believers. Something we talked a little bit about this morning, didn't we, in class, and what it means to be a Christian, what it means to say that you are the church. So the church in general, I mean, if you're a Christian, you generally would believe and say that it is a community, right? It is somewhere where people should be able to come. The phrase is, come as you are, right? And be able to come and accept it into the fold of a body of believers, of Christ's body. But yet, for some reason, it doesn't seem like the general populace sees it as a community worth having. Now, there could be a lot of reasons for that, and you know, that's been debated for a long time, because, quite frankly, for quite a few decades now, Christianity has been in decline in America. Some numbers for you. Between 2007 and 2014, the Christian share of the population in America fell from 78.4% to 70.6%. That was driven mainly by a decline in the Protestant and Catholics, those who say that they're unaffiliated, so in other words, they're spiritual, but they just don't ascribe to a certain church. They don't go to church. They don't belong to a Christian faith. That is what grew. So we say that, well, that's just the Protestants and Catholics, right? Well, coincidentally, if we're talking under a description, we would actually fall under the Protestant side of things. But nonetheless, there are numbers for the Church of Christ as well. And unfortunately, they're not any better. As a matter of fact, depending on how you look at it, they might be a little worse. We have lost a total of 100,443 souls, or 7.8%, from a total that was in 1990 at 1,284,056 membership. Number is staggering, and that's just the Church of Christ. Now, if you were to add the unbaptized and maybe some family members, say a spouse of the believer, then you're talking that we have lost 165,000, over 165,000, or 9.8%, which is much worse than the overall Christian rate. And since 1990, we have gone from 13,174 churches in the United States down to 12,300 churches in America. That's an average of 35 churches closing their doors a year. Can you believe that? Can you believe that 35 churches a year, churches of Christ, a year are closing their doors? Why is that happening? What is going on if we are saying we are providing a community for people, especially a community of believers, but yet we are losing not only losing out on the community out there, but we are also losing out on our community, on believers. These are believers that are leaving and either going elsewhere or going nowhere. There's no simple answer. And maybe many of you have kind of gone through this period of, you know, do I belong to the Church of Christ? Or do I belong to Christ? Maybe you have struggled with your faith. That's a reality. Lots of people do. It can be a refining process. But there are a few ideas that really kind of pervade all of this. The one we're going to hit on today is really a systemic one. One that really speaks to us as a community. Think about all of the groups, functions, organizations that you have been a part of in your lifetime. So you have all those in mind. Now, out of those, there's probably some that you feel still a connection to for some reason. Maybe you are still connected to them. Why is that? What are the attributes? What are the qualities of that community that make you feel attached, that make you feel like you belong, that make you feel like you're a part of them? What makes you stick around and become a part of that community? I'm going to read you a couple of examples, kind of their testimony of why they left the church. These are believers who have left the church, and here's why. This person said, "The hardest part is that I feel like I have to do all this searching and seeking alone." Wow, what a way to start out. "I have questions that I'm terrified to ask because I don't want to just be slapped over the head with the Bible and have various verses spewed at me. I can't speak for the rest of my generation, but when it comes to church, I just want to feel safe. It's not always about rebelling. And I wish older generations could recognize and understand that." Another person says, "I was so sick and tired of the agenda-driven services. It was never about relationship. It was about numbers. I was tired of being called too spiritual or not spiritual enough. I left the church because I was welcomed, but I wasn't received." Chew on that for a moment. "I was welcome, but I wasn't received. I attended my church for 5 years, and still people would ask me if Sunday was my first day. Even though I helped, served, and volunteered in various different ways, I was tired of the masks, the facades, and the show. All I wanted, all I wished for,
was to be a part of a community of people, to be able to give what I had been given and receive what I lacked. I left the church because the church broke my heart. But I'm realizing real church is the only thing that will help bring healing to this brokenness. I hear something in those two statements. I hear a need. I hear people who do want community, but for some reason, they're not being offered it. I hear people who believe in Jesus, who believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins, but somehow the people that are saying they believe that as well are not there for them, are not caring for them. They don't know them. They're not healing the brokenness or being an aid in that. So my question is, what are we doing? What is Christoval doing? If at the very least we're not offering a community to the non-believers, are we offering a community to the believers here? And if we're not offering a place for people to share in their struggles and to find their way towards heaven, then what are we doing here? Why did we meet today? What is our purpose? What principle are we abiding by? Turn over with me to one of my favorite pieces of scripture. You've heard me say read this one probably a couple of times by now. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. It says, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So remember, if you've been in class, we've been going through the book of Acts. And so what's going on here is we have a bunch of Jewish people coming to celebrate the day of Pentecost. And they find themselves in front of these apostles who are speaking in tongues and who preach this message of the gospel. And it's very convicting and it cuts them to their heart. And they say, "I believe." And they received the word and they were baptized and they were added to their number. So these two are people who are convicted that God is the creator of the heavens and earth and Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. But what happens after that conviction? What happens next? And they were continually devoting themselves, in verse 42, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of the bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions. Now things are getting crazy. And were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So they were convicted. And then the community came into play, didn't it? They were convicted by the blood of Christ. And then the people who were also convicted came together and shared a common purpose. For them, the community served a specific purpose. Did it offer salvation? No. Jesus took care of that. Did it provide righteousness? No. That only comes from God. Did it tell others what is right what is wrong. No. That's what God's law, God's word is for. So what should it provide? What did it provide for these people? Our last scripture today is going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 through 22. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. Starting in verse 12, we get to see exactly what the community of God is supposed to provide, what the church should be giving to each other. Paul says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." So, what is Paul telling the church here? What should the community provide? Well, we see that it shows appreciation for the leaders, for the teachers, for the workers. Community should provide that. Says that it should offer peace for one another. Says that we should admonish the unruly. And later, actually in 2 Thessalonians, it gives us an understanding of what that admonishment should look like. And if you're taking notes, you can take a look at that later. But 2 Thessalonians verses 3, verse 15. But besides admonishing, we should encourage the faint-hearted. We should help the weak. We should be patient with everyone. We should accomplish good for each other. We should be constantly rejoicing together. We should never stop praying. We should be thankful for everything. We should not quench the Spirit. We should not despise prophetic utterances. We should examine everything carefully. We should hold fast to the good things in life. And finally, we should stay away from all things that are evil. This is what the community should be offering. And this is not an exhaustive list. In fact, we see time and time again that Jesus was asked to really nail down how exactly does one follow God? And what does his answer look like? It usually has a little something to do with the person. It's usually a very personal answer. And it's usually just a little different from person to person. Our relationships with each other should be no less personal. If we are going to call ourselves a community, we have to know each other for whenever those questions arise. So if you've done everything on that list of things that Paul talks about and you say we're a good community, do you know anything about the person next to you? About the person behind you? About the people who aren't here? Do you know what Jerry's favorite cake is for her birthday? Do you know what Rhonda's favorite Bible verse is? Do you know that Matthew's favorite Ninja Turtle is against his father's will? What do you know about the people around you, about the community that you say you're a part of? Do you know what makes them happy? Do you know what makes them mad? Do you know what makes them sad? Do you know them? Do you know that lady right there? Bonnie, right? I'm just joking, Loretta. I do know your name. That's an inside joke. Do you know the community? Are you a part of it? And are you willing to accept and get to know the people who are waiting to find a community? We are so small here at Christoval that we have absolutely zero excuse for not being a community. I don't come right out and say a whole lot of things, but that's one of them. We don't have any excuse here at Christoval. It'll probably take you a few minutes to get to know everyone. It doesn't take that much time. In fact, here at Christoval, that is our strength. When people come in, there's not a whole lot of people to talk to, so you can make sure and talk to that person that you don't know yet. That's something that we can offer. Finally, in an article titled, Five Things Small Churches Can Uniquely Offer Right Now, without any money, without any expense, without much time, this is something that we can offer. The author says, look, families aren't all warm and fuzzy. They have their dysfunction, and so does a small church, because it often operates like a big extended family. However, through all of that dysfunction, one thing is hopefully certain. People know that they are loved. As our world becomes more global, there's a rise to locally focused relationships in business, commerce, and relationships. The small church can offer something that might get lost in a large church where people don't always know one another by name. You can actually be a part of a family. In our worst moments, that family feel leads us to gossip and insulation from others who aren't a part of our family. But in our best moments, it's an expression of true love extended to anyone searching for a community who will love them enough to never let them go. Family is tough and it's messy, but it's also very beautiful. And so is small church ministry. And so is the ministry here at Christoval Church of Christ. So, you want people to come to Christoval? You want people to stay at Christoval, more importantly? Abide by your principle of community, of unity. When you see a stranger or when you see a visitor, think of that principle. Be the church that Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians. Don't be the church that makes people feel alone, the church that makes people feel intimidated, confused, unsafe, makes them feel like just a number. Broken. Especially, don't be that church that makes them feel like an outsider. Make them like they are part of a community. The community of Christ. More specifically, the body of Christ. Because that's what we are. And that's what we can offer. Sometimes it might be a little difficult. Sometimes it might be a little easy. But I can tell you one thing.
I just spent the past 25 minutes preaching to the choir. Because the two preachers that I've had come out here, they both had brave reviews. The Boyer family and the Monzone family have both been able to come out here. They have children. You know what they said? I wish we lived closer. Because we'd be out there. Because you guys do a wonderful job of this. Of offering community. Of offering unity. Keep that up. It's going to pay dividends. And I hope that you continue to have Cristobal Church of Christ in your prayers. Because we don't want to be one of those 35 churches that are closing their doors every year. We want to keep this light open. We want to make sure that we're reaching out. That we're offering a community for people to feel safe in. Most importantly, a community to know God in. And know what that means. So I ask that as you think today, think about yourself and where you fall into all of this. What role do you play here at Cristobal? What role do you play in the body of Christ? Are you contributing? Are you detracting? Or are you just kind of sitting in the middle? Wherever that is, it's okay. What's not okay is not moving forward, not examining yourself, and finding a place. So think about that as we stand and sing, and if anybody has any prayer requests, anything they need help with, come forward.
Softly and tenderly.